Saying stuff. Kuf Chavav, Halacha Kuf Chavav, on page Kuf Yud Ches. Al Tihi Tzadik Harbe. Don't be too religious. Okay, what does that mean? Al Tihi Tzadik. It's a pasuk in Koheles. Al Tihi. How could you possibly say that? How could you possibly say you should not be a tzaddik harbe? A tzaddik is what Hashem wants. Tzaddik Hashem b'chol d'rocha v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. You're going to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem is too much of a tzaddik? It's really, if you think about it, a lot of things that we were so familiar with, if you really think about it deeply, it's hard to really understand. The more of a tzaddik you are, the better it is. So why? What does it mean harbe? So let's see how he tries to understand this. This is really Gemara Masechta the Soita. And it has to be understood correctly. A woman is drowning in the river. And it's within your power to save her. So, al toimar, ani manicha litboya. I'm going to let her drown. Because, negia. Ki eich. Maise b'chol yoim, of course. Ki eich eilech ve'ere es ervo. So, how could I go and see her naked? Okay? It says, he doesn't mince words here. It says in the Gemara, Ve'er es ervasa. It doesn't say, how could I go and touch her? She'll touch me. Okay, I remember not that long ago. I was walking on Avenue M over here. I was embarrassed, but I Baruch Hashem, I had enough sense to, Baruch Hashem, I was at least this, I was able to control myself. Is I was walking on Avenue M, and there was a woman who was blind. It was probably a guy. Well, I don't know if I'm a Jew guy. Some was a guy. I had a stick, and I was watching her, and she was pretty bad. Well, like a lot of these people, the unfortunate people who are with the stick, some of them are pretty good. They're not as blind as you think they are. Okay, they can see to some degree, but this one more than depends who. Yeah, obviously, but this person, I could see the way they were walking. It was pretty bad. They were really really bad. I don't know. She sensed I was there. Because I was watching her, I was a little bit nervous for her, and he said to me, "Can you please help me cross the street?" So I'm in the dress, you know, my rabbinic garb, hat, and it's the midday in Avenue M, all, and there are people walking around. So I said, "Yes," but I said, "Of course." So she mamish grabs me. She grabs me, mamish, by the arm. She holds on to me for dear life. Mamish, for dear life. Right. And
the reason they hold on to you is because they don't want you to lead them. They want you lead them. It's not. They lose their way.
They're fine. Okay. Whatever it was. So she really held on stark. She held on very stark. Fine. But it took a very long time because you know the traffic was the midday. Traffic was crazy and the red lights. And I was thinking the whole time.
Who's
going to
save me?
Who? What do I care? It was just a mishagas.
She's blind.
Of course. I ride you. I listen. But anyone here? She's holding on to me, and it wasn't just a moment. It took about 10-15. Took about 10 minutes. I would say 10 minutes. Because we had to go from across this corner and that corner, and she wanted to go to the bus where the bus stop is and to be safe. It took a lot of time. It really took a lot of time, and it was a very good lesson for me of who do you think you are? Okay, who do you think you are? Al titzadik harbe. Big deal. No one could care less. Do the right thing. And, you know, she was holding on, you know, very, very, it wasn't just, from far. It was an intense experience. And you got to learn. This is very, very important. And here, he writes over here in the Gemara something much more extreme. The Ere Es Ervasa. Now that literally means something very extreme. Okay, you translate the words. A woman is drowning and you're gonna take her out of the water. Which seems to indicate she's not wearing clothing. And a person has an obligation to do this. Lama tishaymeim. Why should you be shomeim? Shomeim means in a state, I don't even know a good translation of the word, for the word tishomeim. How would you translate that? How would you translate the word tishomeim?
Desolate.
Desolate. So how does that fit into this context? V'yichoshev l'cha, why should you be foolish? V'yichoshev l'cha ovoin, and it should be considered to you a sin by not saving her. Oh, but you're going to see her erva, and this image will be in your head, will poison your mind for the rest of your life. And it's not a joke. It's not a joke. When a person sees, certain person sees images of things that they're not supposed to see, it's definitely in your mind for the rest of your life. And these things can pop up in your head. It percolates. We all know, when you're younger, you think it's total nonsense. You think, oh, big deal, you saw this or that. I still have in my mind all these images, the things that I saw on television. The television, mamish from when I was in kindergarten. I remember all the stuff like it was yesterday. What I learned today, I can't remember. But the stuff that I saw on television 30, 40 years ago, I could tell you word for word, every little play by play, what happened, and all of the scenes that are not sneeristic, and I should be embarrassed to reveal to you, of all the boyfriend-girlfriend situations, and then who knows what. So it's not, and what, and you know what can happen? You're davening the Elah. It's Yom HaKippurim, and you're davening the Elah. While you're davening the Elah, your life is on the line. Your whole life is on the line. And what pops into your head? A scene from a movie you saw 3 weeks ago. It's not a joke, okay? And when a person is tired, the person sees something. So when you're awake during the day, and you're very strong, so then a person who's a good person can control himself and just push it away like it never existed. But when you're tired, when a person is tired, you're not in control. Okay, a person, when you go to sleep at night, and you're lying on your bed, and you don't fall asleep so quickly, your mind wanders. Why? Why don't you have the ability to control your mind at night? Because you're tired. It's nothing more than being tired. When a person is tired, you have very little control over all matters relating to the Yetzirah. They say from a Gadol that if you don't get 4 hours of sleep, then you have no control over your Yetzirah. A person needs good sleep. Forget about your health. You need good sleep. We know is the cornerstone of health. And in order to accomplish, if you want to accomplish something during the day, you want to be fulfilled. You need good sleep. So there are 100 reasons why you need to get good sleep, but they're not going to tell you in the doctor's office or any medical anything that you're going to learn in any school that the reason why you need to get sleep is in order to control your Yetzirah. If you don't get good sleep, you're powerless. The Yetzirah has full shlita over any situation that you're in. You will always fall to your lowest, you're just in his hands. You're a pawn in his hands.
No resistance.
Whatever he wants you to do, you'll do because you're just weak. Your mind is not in a state where you can put up resistance. That is why sleep is so important. So why do you have to give him fuel? It's one thing. Okay, I'm awake. I have resistance. But always comes a point in time in your life, during the day, every single day, or where your resistance is minimal because you're tired. And then all of the nisyonos that are lingering, percolating in your mind, they come forward. So this guy here, he's going to go see a naked woman. And he's going to be touching her and embracing her and holding her and carrying her. This example Chazal gave was not by accident. They didn't give him an example. They gave an example where you're dealing with something which comes as close as you can possibly get to living with a woman. The woman over here, he says, Ervasa, she's in the water. It appears the way he writes, she's not wearing clothing. By saving her, you're basically embracing her. You're doing something here which is as close as it gets to Gili Arayis Mamish. And it says here, you better do it. Do it. Do you realize how this will harm my neshama, will damage my mind? And he says, guess what? You're in this world not to be a tzaddik. Al tihit tzaddik harbe. Even this is incredible what it says.
Isn't that the whole idea of Hatzalah, that they wouldn't allow women to be in Hatzalah?
Well, the
concept of touching in the...
of what me, of the not they, well, we just think it's the opposite. They want to have women doing hatsol instead of men.
Women, right.
whatever it is. Okay, that's a whole different mix of variables, and that's not for now. There that's a whole story in and of itself. But you have no choice. There's a need for hatsol. We all know that there's a need for hatsol, and even though men are put in situations. Doesn't matter. That's exactly part of an altit tzadik harbe. And of course, they still probably do where they don't allow unmarried men join atzala. I don't know to what degree they still follow these rules. Every situation is different. Out of town, in the country, there's training. There are many different situations. But in a chenami,
you have to get the letters of people have to write you a. From a rabbi has to give you a letter of, you know, like a recommendation.
I don't know. It's a very, I don't know the rules.
You're a nice person.
Whatever the rules are. But obviously, when you're in atzala, you're dealing with situations. Like a doctor. See, a doctor sees this every single day. So a doctor probably to a degree is more immune to a lot of these types of situations. But atzala, you have not gone to medical school for 4 years, then having a residency for another 4 years, and having training in it, atzala is not. You're definitely putting yourself in situations that are very different, and you're dealing with people that you know. You're dealing with people in the community, so you're absolutely right. Being an atzala presents nisyonos, and it's true. Don't make believe it doesn't exist.
Right.
Don't go live in a world of fantasy. People in atzala are servicing their neighbors. They're servicing people in the community that they see every single day. They're servicing their wives, their children. They're seeing them in the situations, in the state of dress that is not under normal circumstances acceptable. So, and these are people that you see all the time. It's one thing when you don't see this psychologically been proven. You see something you never saw before. The Yetzirah of someone that you've never seen before. Is minimal compared to being familiar with the person. And then when you're familiar with the person and you see them in a certain situation, that is more, this is a very basic psychology, is much more damaging, is much more of a Yetzirah. So if you're working for EMS and you're traveling the city and you're going to this bar and you see people you never saw before and people you never will see ever again, big deal. That's what you do for your parnasa. You're totally, totally immune. It's like a piece of wood. It's a piece of wood. But when you're dealing with people in the community, in Hatzalah, it's not so simple. It's not so simple. We take it for granted. Of course, Hatzalah, Hatzalah, Hatzalah. They're having another auction. You have to give. It's not so simple, these things. And yet, Chazal have given us a license, not just a license, have given us a command. And they've illustrated this with the most graphic and explicit halacha imaginable. By discussing a woman who is drowning in the Yam, and here he's going to embrace her, and he's going to see. Doesn't hide the words. Does not censor it. The ere es ervasa. Don't say to yourself, oh, I'm a tzaddik, how could I see such a thing? My next door neighbor, I can see their erva and embrace her in eshes ish. It says, don't be a shaita. If you're not going to save her, she's going to die. And her death will be on your her blood is on your hands. V'chashev l'cha avoin v'se onesh, you will be punished. And therefore, Hashem wants you to do this. This is the situation. Tse ulamad. Mishol. Now he gives an example which is a little bit different. He's drumming, he's shifting here, different extreme. Ulman Mishol Shechamal al Agog. The Asa Kal Vachomer Shel Toos. Shohul had Rachmonis on Agag. He did not kill, he was told by Shmuel to execute Amalek, to execute the king, the women, the children, the animals, and he had Rachmonis, and he said, what was the Kal Vachomer? If Hashem has, I forgot the Kal V'Chomer, what was the Kal V'Chomer? I forgot this already. Does it say over here in the Mefarish what the Kal V'Chomer was? Shemi Shemut Malchut Chayim Mizu V'Devil Ohi writes in L'Shayim Mash Nikir L'Novel Mishum Shayim Malchus. Let's go further. We have to come back to this. He lost the malchus. He had rachmanis on the women. What sin did they commit? What did the animals do? Why should we kill Agag? V'chein ish echem b'nei ha-nevim omar el re'eu b'dvar alokim mihakeni na v'yimo'eno ish la'akoysai. Okay, one of the Nevi'im told him to hit me. He refused to do so. He was commanded by Hashem to hit him. He did not do so. The Ali Deikein Nenash V'yukoha Ari V'yimiser, he was killed. If Hashem tells you to do something which does not appear to be correct, it doesn't matter. Let's read them from Farshim on the side to get a better feel for what's going on. Okay, let's look over here on page Kuf Yud Ches on the left side, Al Toimar. Okay, I'm reading towards the bottom, a little bit after it gets wide. Al Toimar, Rotz Loimar, Shete Ose, Have Al Ze, Litvoya, Ki Eich Eilich Ve'era, let her drown. How could it possibly that I should do this and save her from drowning? Ki eich eilich ve'ere erva salama tishamem rotzolaymar. What's that word over there? Kisadich kerem shenifritzu gidroi v'nasim shamem mikol v'kolfi. What does it mean, shamem? Shamem, he's translating shamem as a field. A field whose fence has been taken down, and people have just trampled upon it, and it's completely desolate. Kesodeh, the kerem, a field in the vineyard, shenifritzu gidorav, the fence has been removed, v'nasim shamein mikol v'chol, and there's no fruit or any remnants left. Shekevon she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizroi hayetzahara misita lachatoi b'inyin riyas erva. If Hashem does not help you, then a person's yetzahara will overpower you, will seduce you, entice you to sin, regarding Rias Erva. V'imkein, chet gadol hu shaloi hitzil eso isha militvoya banor mishum Rias Erva. It's a very great sin not to save this woman because you're afraid of seeing her Erva. V'zesh amar say that. I think what he means to say is as follows. I think this is what he means to say. Maybe I'm correct. Let us say, for example, a person did not save this woman. Just you walk the streets. You walk the streets and you see a woman dressed sneerstick, dressed the way she is supposed to be dressed. Lahalach. Do you realize that according to the laws of nature, you should go out of your mind? According to the laws of nature, the koyach of the Yetzar is so great, just having a casual conversation with a woman, according to every law in Shulchan Aruch, should fill you up with such Yetzahara. It should take you and lead you to do things that are not proper. You'll see a woman, have a conversation with her, thoughts in your mind are going to percolate, you're going to be filled with passion and taiva, it'll take you from one place to the next, and before you turn around, you'll be in a situation you never in your wildest dreams imagined would happen. How would that happen? What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? I did not, I'm talking to a woman. I'm allowed to talk to a woman. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you're not allowed to talk. Asia Sish! You go into a store. You're allowed to talk to an Ashes Ish in a casual conversation. You walk in the street. It says until you can't walk in the street. So how come yet we're allowed to talk to women? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us, even though it's true that naturally we would have a Yetzirah to do things which are out of our control. Hashem saves us. He protects us. The same way Hashem protects you from losing control when you do something that is acceptable in society to do, if Hashem wants you to enter into a situation where under normal circumstances it would be forbidden to see a woman that's completely not dressed, if the situation demands that you enter into this situation, don't worry. Hashem will protect you in that situation as well. Just like Hashem protects you under normal situations, Hashem will protect you in extreme situations. Because that's the way. Chazal make the statement. If not, if Hashem would not help you, that's what I think he's trying to say over here. Hashem always will help you. If that, the situation demands that you do this, Hashem will protect you. Ki al Amolek levad hoyloi teretz mishum kavuchay mishasa. Velerigas noivir kacharim levad gam kein hoyloi teretz mishum shahoyu mardim malchus lofitz verasai. What did Shaul, what were his two major crimes? Shaul, there are many crimes that he did. Over here he's only coming to focus on two of his sins. Sin number one, he did not kill Agag. Sin number two, he killed out Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. He sincerely believed they had the status of a Moirei B'malchus. They assisted David HaMelech. They gave David food, and they gave David a weapon. Therefore, he viewed the people of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim to be rebellious, and according to Halacha, their Chayiv Misa. Agag, he had a very good reason why not to kill Agag. Now, what about David on the other hand? David HaMelech, on the other hand, when he came upon an issue of Novel HaKarmeli, who went and he cursed David, he cursed David. So what did David want to do? David needed some food. And David went to Novel, and Novel said, no, I'm not giving you anything. And he said nasty things about David. David's original plan was to wipe out the entire estate of Novel HaKarmeli and leave over absolutely nothing. And he calls her a Mashtin Bekir. Yeah, Mashtin Bekir means all men. Men, a man is a person who urinates against a wall. It's an expression called Mashtin Bekir. Mishum Shoy Merba Malchus. So what do we see about David? Why would David have kill out innocent people just because one person rebelled against him? Is that reason why he should kill out everyone? What did they do? You see here the difference in midos between David and Shaul. Shaul had Rachmanis. David did not have Rachmanis. And that's why David was chosen to be king. Because David followed the halacha. The halacha is, someone's a Morid B'malchus must be executed. You have to uproot every last mashahu of evil. Shaul was supposed to do that, but he did not do so. Therefore, he lacked the meat that is required for a melech, and that's why he was deposed as a king. Now, by the way, David did, at the end, did not kill these people for technical reasons, because Avigail, the wife of Novel, stopped him in his tracks and said to David, you're not a melech. Just because you have been anointed by Shmuel, lo yotza tivacha ba'olam, the world does not yet know about you. It's true, technically you've been anointed, but you're still in training. You're still in boot camp. You got to wait until your renown spreads throughout the entire world, and therefore, halachically, you have no right to kill anyone. So therefore, that's why technically David at the end did not do so, but David was more than willing to go forward and wipe out all of these people who seem to be innocent, because David realized they're not innocent. Anyone that is a member of this family has a shemetz, has a mashu of this wickedness within them that they're willing to rebel against the malchus. And therefore they must be destroyed. That is what is required of a melech to follow the command of Hashem. In Chachma v'intfuna v'in'etzim negen Hashem, we learned this yesterday. Shaul unfortunately made his own calculations, and that's where he was lacking, and that is why he was removed as being the melech in Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go further in the parish on the next page. Rishkuf Yitash, Shemisha Barba Malchus Chai Misa v'hu v'chol ha'gnil v'elav. Someone that's Moirid the Malchus, the Schaiv Misan, all those that are part of his team. Avalachshav Shadorash Kalvuchem Ba Molek, Vlohora Kulam. But now, going back to Shaul, he made a Kalvuchem Ba Molek, Vlohora Kulam. Uvinoiv Irakai Hanem, Lodorash Hai Kalvuchem Ba Kulam. And Noiv, he just the opposite. Noiv Irakai Hanem, that's where he should have made a Kalvuchem, and he did not. Havidvarim the Sashre Hadode. He's just pointing out over here is that he's saying something over here in the Pesach guideline, something that is very profound and very unique, and you're not going to see this anywhere else. Let's explain what he just said over here. He's saying, when we study Shaul, and we look at Shaul's shortcomings, go into any cheder where they study the life of Shaul, I guarantee you they'll ask, what was wrong with Shaul? They'll tell you exactly what I just said. The problem with Shaul is Shaul did not fulfill Hashem's command. He had too much rachmanis. He was told to kill Amalek. He had rachmanis and Agag on the Noshim, on the animals. He did not fulfill this Hashem's command. He just said something, he says here in the Perish Kabbalah, that's not the problem. If that would have only been Shaul's shortcoming, then you know something? It's very, very possible Hashem would have given him a pass. He would have got away with it. You know why Shaul was deposed? Because Shaul didn't have Rachmanis in the wrong place. When it came to Noiv, Ir HaKoyhanim, he should have said, who gave David the sword of Goliath? Who gave David the Lechem HaPanim to eat? Who? One or two people? Three people? Four people? Five people? Let's make an investigation. 10 people? Okay. These 10 people were part of the decision that David should have a sword and David should have something to eat. You 10 people, I'm going to kill. Everyone else, what did you do? What did you do? Did nothing wrong. All can live. Shaul said, I'm having rachmanis. I'm going to kill you all. So Shaul, first of all, had no right to kill even those 10 people. Because those 10 people were not even really in Rebbe Malchus. You know, you're all worked up. You're paranoid. The Torah forgives people who are paranoid, even for Ritzicha. You're paranoid? You want to go kill these people? We can legitimize, we can maybe find a limud zechus for you killing innocent people. And you can preserve your malchus. But Shaul, not only did you do an aver by killing innocent people, you decided, no rachmanis. We're going to kill kol hanilvim alav. The whole city, every last living creature. Wow. Shaul, you got what it takes, Shaul. Shaul, Yitaka Melech. You got the stuff that it takes to be a Melech. When you see an issue, you see an Amalek, you don't just wipe out Amalek, you wipe them all out, every last living creature. But if Shaul, you got what it takes, so why then when it came to the real Amalek, didn't you kill every last living creature? What did this little animal do? A shepsula, what did it do? What did the ladies, what did the women do? What did they do? I'll kill all the men. The king, we're gonna have a ceremony, we're gonna have a... Oh, Shaul, you got what it takes. Because when it came to your own covenant, when it came to your own honor, you were paranoid from David? Anyone that supports David, you're a nemesis. So then you wipe them all out. And here you don't wipe them out. Ah, there's something really wrong. It shows it's not about Hashem, it's about you. This is an insight into Shaul that is earth-shattering. Where are you going to hear such a thing like this? Where are you going to learn insight?
Which happened first? That he killed the Noiv Arkana and then Amalek? Which one happened first?
Amalek was first. I think Amalek was first. And then came Noiv Arkana. So, isn't that, and that's what sealed his fate. You got what it takes. So why didn't you do, if you don't got what it takes, no. So you don't got what it takes. No one's perfect in this world. Not even your wife.
You could say that he developed that later. Amalek was first, and then later
he learned his lesson. He's not saying that though. He doesn't want to say that you learn these type of lessons later on. He doesn't want to say that. Yeah.
Garrett Kidd, American, was killed in the rocket things in Ashdod.
Yes.
At the Levaya, when he grew up, I forgot his name already, said that anyone in Knesset who voted, the Frum guys, who voted with Sharon to disengage Gaza,
is responsible for his death?
Is responsible. He says, look at it, what's happening? The reason we disengaged from Gaza, we said that they're going to stop shooting rockets at us.
Listen.
So now it became worse?
I hear what you're saying. And disengaging from Gaza is a sugi in and of itself.
Right.
But to go and connect these two dots is a little bit of an extreme thing to say.
He was right in that What he said was they did it for money. And you know that.
Okay, Einochinami, Einochinami. Heilchud va Heilchud. I hear what you're saying, but this is an irresponsible. This is an irresponsible way to talk. I mean, Heilchud va Heilchud. Each one has its issues and its corruption and its reasons and its not reasons. It's right. It's wrong. Here, let's go find it.
If Agag was killed by Shaul HaMelech, we had no Purim and Kiyemu v'Kibelu Alehem,
so we would not have happening. No, so we have no Purim, so there will be no Purim.
The Kiyemu v'Kibelu that the Torah right. accepted.
So there will be another way, there will be another Kiyemu v'Kibelu, so there will be no Purim. Right at the moment in time, it was the wrong thing to do.
Hashem
period.
Hashem did not know everything
God.
Before.
You're playing God. Excuse me, you're playing God. At the moment in time, there was an obligation to kill Agag. V'zehu.
Yeah.
The Navi gave a command. Shmuel said, Devar Hashem, kill Agag. He did not kill Agag. That was a crime. You're going to now tell me, oh, in hindsight, it was a tremendous bracha because from him came the Rasha, Haman HaRasha, who tortured and terrorized the Gans Klal Yisrael, and he killed Daniel, and he terrorized permanent psychological damage to all the children of Yudan. And now we today, in America, 2019, we're able to go get drunk once a year.
This scenario
come on.
This scenario retroactive was written by Hashem Yitzhak, what to happen, what to do.
This is not a derech. Hi,
in the way,
Adkan.
Adkan.
Adkan. That's it. Adkan. Weiter. Okay, Rabbi Sai, it is kedai to dwell and appreciate not even what it says here in the Sefer Chasidim, so to appreciate what he says here in the Perish HaKadmon to explain the complaint that Hashem has against Shaul HaMelech. It's not like the average person will tell you. He had too much Rachmanis. It's not so bad to have too much Rachmanis. Gesunde Heid. Hashem is moichel you for having too much Rachmanis, even though you're in violation of a direct order. A direct order. You violated a direct order. All right, I'll forgive you for derail your Rachmanis. But I see when it comes to your COVID, oh, then there's no Rachmanis for your COVID. Oh, so I see here it's not about Rachmanis. It's about who's in charge. It's you. You're in charge over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the problem. Now,
so was Yonah forgiven?
Was Yonah? We haven't finished Yonah yet. Hey, but wait a minute. Let's go further.
People wanted him not to do all of the mission that.
Okay, let's go weiter. Let's go weiter. V'chein, let's just finish over here. V'chein, ish ali day ki nenash. Okay, the parish just goes on to say the second so that. So I want to just bring out one point. I want to tell you something. I find this very, very interesting all the time. Derech Klal, I find this by myself. If Rachmana Litzlah, there would be a gezeira. I'm making up an example right off the top of my head. So I may say something that's foolish, but just play along with me and my foolishness. Let's say the city of New York would come along and would say it's a law. Yehoreg v'al yavar. Every student in the United States of America, in New York City, in every yeshiva bachar. Maybe we have to turn the volume down a little bit. Every student has to watch a video, CPR video. You must watch this. Yehoreg v'al yavar. We're going to deport you from this country if you don't watch CPR, and we're going to have a woman do CPR on a man. Okay? A woman is dressed, not sneistic. Okay, a very attractive woman will be performing CPR on an attractive man, a very good-looking man. And it's important to teach every citizen in this country, every citizen how to do CPR. And we don't want books. We don't want any mannequins. This is the way it has to be. And if you do not watch this video, which is not graphic, I wouldn't say it's graphic, whatever, no, it's good enough, it's not the end of the world, we're going to deport you from this country. We're going to send you to Siberia. So what would happen, I guarantee you, there would be an uprising, all the Rabbanim, there would be an uprising, all the yeshivas would demonstrate, and they would say, Shmad, and the world is coming to an end, and you name it, it would be an uprising like you never saw before. Okay, very good. No one's asking you to do this. No one's asking you. No one's asking you to watch this video. It's a Sunday afternoon, and you have nothing to do. You go online, you go to YouTube, and what do? You watch a movie. You watch a video, a Goyisha video. You watch some movie clips. And what's happening on the movie clips? A lot worse. A lot worse, to say the least, of what that video that the city of New York would demand every yeshiva boy to watch. So my question is, I don't understand. This type of example happens all the time, a million times over. When the goyim tell us to do something that we don't like, because we find it says somewhere, some chazal or something which is not 100% perfect, it causes an outbreak, a sensation. It's in all the newspapers, and there are demonstrations, and there are court cases, and we go meshuga. But yet, the goyim are not telling us to do it, and no one's saying boo. We on our own have a tendency, no one's watching, I'm tired, and this and that, to go do and see and behave in ways which are a lot worse than things that the goyim are trying to force upon us. And it doesn't even occur to us, maybe it's not the right thing to do. I'll give you a very simple example. Another example is very common. You go to a wedding, and they have a big mechitza, and you literally wouldn't be caught dead on the other side of the mechitza. I don't really care anymore. Don't be so sure. But still, I tell you still, to go watch the women dance, and you see a woman dancing, and there's a mechitza, and the more religious the wedding is, the thicker the mechitza is, and the more separation there is. Okay, right? Isn't this true? It's a fact. Go every night. I can take you every night to a wedding. You'll go see a big, big mechitza. Generally, the men would not be caught dead on the other side of the B'nai Torah. Okay, what happens? The video man finishes making the video 2-3 months later, and they deliver the video, and the video has the men dancing, and it just goes back and forth. The men. A lot? A lot?
I didn't say men dancing.
A lot? Two videos? One video?
Two videos.
Oh, come on. I know what you're saying. You're dealing with mamish yichidim shab yichidim, and guess what? Those who have two videos, they watch them both. Right? So they make one video for the men, one for the women, and the men watch them both, right? What does it accomplish? So my question over here is, if the government would say you have to watch this video, by the wedding you wouldn't be caught dead on the other side of the mechitza. So why then do you so intensely watch video and watch who's this woman, who's that woman, what is she wearing, and this and that?
If she is wearing.
Hypocrites. It's mamish hypocrites. In public, it's one thing, and in private, it's another thing. So here we have over here, Al Tihi Tzadik Harbe. In the streets, Chas V'Sholem, should I let a blind woman with a stick touch me? Chas V'Sholem, better get run over by a bus. Let her get run over by a bus. Chas V'Sholem, should I let her touch me? Chas V'Sholem. But I'll go home and go surf the web. The things that you'll see and do are infinitely more damaging. So what's going on over here? So
it's from the street, what you said, two entrances, men entrances, a woman entrance, then two separate coaches, and then the Spongel was is together.
Yeah.
The Andreas, they are together.
In the street there are two entrances, two car rooms, but the Shmogus one is built. Exactly, okay? It's Takastira. They'll answer you that, what are you doing in the Shmogus one? What are you doing there? Well, that's where all the food is. That's where all the good food is, right? That's where all the good. We all know it's a joke, but obviously, when you learn this chazal and you see the altit sadik harbe, the first thing and the only thing is it should right away trigger within you. If there's such a hakpada and this thing needs to be developed and discussed, don't worry. In public, if you touch a woman to help a woman off the street, the woman falls down on the ice. You want to go pick her up? Don't worry, you can pick her up. You can pick her up. You can touch her. Don't worry. So and altit sadik harbe. at least when you're in private and there is no sakana, al achas kama v'kama, how it's a given what the expectation Hashem has from us to behave yourself. And yet, unfortunately, we're just totally blind. We're totally blind to this. At the very least, it should trigger a machshava, hearer teshuva, that in the privacy of our own homes, there are things that we should work on to be mitar ourselves from what are clearly things that are damaging to our neshama. Okay, we have the Kuf Chav Zayin, that's Sara Imenu, 127, Me'ashan, the Eshan of Sheva Shan, that we're going to have to wait until Mirchem tomorrow. We'll take a short break. And then I want to discuss the sugi of Kiddush Hashem. Today is, in Eretz Yisrael, what's called Yom HaZikaron, the day before they commemorate the Kedoshim, people who died fighting to defend Eretz Yisrael. So I want to spend some time discussing this. So after the break, we are going to discuss this.